Good morning, Bodhisattvas.
Good morning.
In the old days, there were 16 Bodhisattvas. When it was time to bathe, they got into the bath together. They suddenly realized the cause of water and said, "This subtle touch releases the brightness. We have become the sons and daughters of the Buddha." So today I want to just say a few things about just one facet of this koan, and that is the fact that it takes place in a bath. So this is responding a little bit to the question from last night, what's a bath? The koan starts in the old days. So we know from that we're in mythic time. I think Andrew called it Metaphorlandia. And one of the archetypes that we encounter here is the bath. And the bath is partakes of the form of a vessel. And so one place in our popular culture that the vessel is shows up is in the witch's cauldron, you know, where the eye of Newt and the tongue of the frog mix together to make some kind of magic. And another, you know, much more close to home manifestation of the vessel is for anybody who likes to cook, you know that your pots are really important. And I know I'm very attached to mine. And what happens there is, again, it's some kind of magic. We take disparate ingredients and we put them together in the right way. And if we're lucky, something delicious comes out. So as a way of feeling more into this bath, I'd like to bring in the Yi Jing, and in particular, hexagram 50, so this is the Book of Changes that many of you may be familiar with, and hexagram 50 is called the vessel. And this comes from ancient China, where the vessel was a massive bronze food container. And it was used to store and cook food, but in a ritual way. And it was actually the locus where the humans and the spirits could mix. So the vessel has two functions. It's a container, and it transforms. And these two facets are really very interrelated. So the vessel contains, it prescribes boundaries. It limits, and it focuses. So this is a lot like Sashin. You know, everything we know really what we're to do, where we're to be, there are no decisions that we need to make. Everything is prescribed for us. And the paradox, of course, is that this sort of radical containment leads us to freedom. That it's really only or primarily within, by making use of this feature of containment, this focus, that we can find true liberation. And today we're in the second day of our Sashin, and we've really had a chance to feel the container. And this yurt is so perfect because it is such a lovely vessel for us. and we've had a chance to experience the place and the schedule and to really settle in. So I invite us to make full use of the kind of radical containment of this sesshin, of the vessel that we're in together. And now it's a good time to have fewer words, fewer distractions, unnecessary kerfuffle. We can really sink in, we can really trust the strength of the container, of the sesshin engine, which is in gear now. You know, one of the things that this koan evokes for me is I think one of my earliest memories is of taking a bath with my little sister. And my mom was there, and there was something so delightful about bath time. I think partly because it's such a small space that you're in together. And so you could, we were talking last night about the playfulness, the, you know, the frolicking in the bath. And as a young child, that was, it felt so safe there. It felt so contained. It's just me and my little sister and my mom, and we're playing, and it just felt like nothing bad could happen in the world. The vessel, it's also called, you know, the cauldron, which sounds a little witchier. It's also the locus of transformation. So, this transformation happens of its own accord when we find the containment of the vessel. We don't need to engineer it. It doesn't come of our will. But this transformation happens in relationship. That's an essential feature of the transformation in the vessel, is that it comes when things that we thought were separate come into relationship with each other. In the you know, ancient Chinese ritual vessel, it was the coming together of the human realm and the spirit realm. In the work in the room, it can happen in that conversation. It's where realms collide. You know, suffering, I think, seems to come primarily when we feel we're separate, when we feel the painful gap between myself and the world. I know that this is really what brought me to practice, was this feeling of separation. I felt like there was a veil between me and my experience. And I didn't know if that was, it seemed like that was just how it was for humans. But I kept feeling like there's got to be some way to heal this gap. And first I thought if I just like learn a lot, you know, if I if I get really smart, maybe that would help. And I learned a lot, but it didn't really seem to do much. In fact, it seemed to maybe increase the gap, because I was sort of obsessing on it. And for me, it was really only by coming into the sort of radical vessel of sesshin that that transformation could happen, where the duality of me and you, me and tree, human and spirit, good and bad, all of the dualities that we create that create our suffering, could be healed. So that's what happens in the vessel. And that's what will happen for all of us here. And we don't need to do very much to have, we just have to show up. We're in the vessel, it's cooking. We're in the bath, we're splashing. And the subtle touch, the brightness, is being released. By entering the vessel, the transformation happens of its own accord. We enter the relationship, it's the coming together, and things are healed. Things are reconciled, and we can trust that process. So we're in the safe space of our vessel now, and all of the ingredients have come together. And we are making a very significant whole thing, one whole world. This, in the I Ching, this hexagram 50, the vessel, comes right after 49, which is radical change. And sort of in the language of the I Ching, radical change is the overthrowing of a dynasty and the establishment of a new order. So anything that runs on autopilot, anything that's past its expiration date, anything that is numb can be overthrown and something new gets cooking in the bath, in the vessel. And this, the spirit world is brought in to help with that cooking process, that bathing process. And for us as a Mahasangha, this feels really poignant to me because we have been through what for some of us has felt like a radical change in Joan's retirement. And in coming together, the coming together of different sanghas as a Mahasangha, we are truly cooking something new. One thing that's so interesting is to hear the small inflections of difference. There's so much that we have that we do the same way across our groups. But there are these little differences that I notice. And I think I said to somebody the other day, it's like the Galapagos. You know, there's these little different species, variations. But there's something really sweet about the differences because, you know, we're not exactly the same. We're not doing exactly the same thing, but we are doing something. We've got this lineage. We've got these koans. We've got all that Joan gave us. But now we need to re-enter the vessel and see what new thing gets cooked. I feel, I'm in California, and I feel, you know, far away from many in the Mahasangha. And so it's perhaps especially lovely to enter the bath with all of you and to feel what we're doing, what our way is, and that we do have this way together, and that is a tremendous and important thing. that to have this lineage that we all can love and trust, the vessel and the transformation that is happening, that we can trust, that subtle touch is released endlessly, on and on, right here, right now. And that we can do this together, and that these are the relationships. This is it. This is transformation. This is life in the vessel. It's happening. And if anybody has a thought, I'm happy to hear them.
You know, when you read the koan, somehow that's that last piece that you spoke is where I went with it. Okay, this is it. I'm not going to teeter on the brink or engage preference or hold back. There was something about this is when the time was right, or when it was time, mm-hmm. it says. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. here it is. Mm.
This is the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, not some other time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
So always, perhaps, if we bring ourselves into the present and don't drag a lot of things in, that has potential.
Yeah. See what's extra, what we don't need. Keep it simple, right? But then, yeah, right now. Nothing, not some other time. This is it.
Or yeah. Some other process.
Right. Not some other version of you, some improved version.
Toolkits can be left aside.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right here. We don't need something else.
Accept each other.
And we're here. We're here for each other.
Something that resonated for me really directly. Right after the sutra service, I was feeling a little bit tired and kind of going, oh wow, but some sitting to do before lunch. And I took a short walk and had a little bit of coffee. And I came back and I was thinking, what am I going to do with this time? Mm-hmm. You know, is it koan, full force, or whatever that happens to be. And I felt like it was, Steve, just sit. Mm-hmm. Just be here. Be in here. And let the koan take care of itself. It was like you're giving me permission to just, this is good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's all these other people here with me.
Right.
And it'll take care of itself.
Right. Right. We do these endless machinations, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How can I tweak things so that it's just right?
Yeah. How am I going to do this? Okay, I've got
coffee. That's
three
it.
Rounds. Three rounds. Oh, I'm tired. I'm,
right.
You know, so it's like you just gave me permission. Uh-huh. A total affirmation of just what I was. I'm just going to go in and sit.
Yeah. Right. And we can just relax, especially after we've settled.
Yeah.
We can relax into the session. Yeah.
I had a related question, I guess, which is sort of, do you have any advice for ways of getting into the bath, knowing that you're entering the bath with the spirits, or, you know, that the cauldron, the spirits are going to be in there too, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, the trees and the birds are always reminding us, right? I mean, there is no shortage of spirit presence here. you know, boom last night, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, then the wind through the aspen, that's the more subtle, right, the subtle touch. Then last night was not subtle. But, you know, that's the great gift of this container and the wind that's blowing through. Yeah.
So maybe. Is that what stirs the cauldron?
Sometimes.
Maybe even that boom is subtle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a lullaby for me. I don't sleep very well.
One of those little sound machines that has various nature sounds, and I use like the, it helps me sleep a little bit, the rain, but one of them is thunder and lightning. Mm-hmm. And the real thing is a lot better.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to say this without having a total meltdown, but I think what you're talking about is alchemy. Uh-huh. And I've been really missing Joan a lot. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong, but the alchemy is different. It'll never be that way.
Yeah.
So, and I just think having these meltdowns, so excuse me. It makes a lot of sense that different elements create different alchemy. Uh-huh. And we don't even know the evolution. I know that in our koan salon, we really carry Joan in there. She's there all the time. And we add our own responses to the koan. And so it's another kind of alchemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think you're really holding something for the group, which is about loss. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really palpable for me, I know, and I think for many of us, is the person who's not here, who we, many of us, love and have relied on. And it's sort of, you know, it feels like, you know, the loss of a parent. So it is radical change and radical loss. And the alchemy is different, and it's never going to be exactly like that. But we are cooking something else that's got some of the same ingredients, you know? A lot of the same ingredients. And there's, it's always got to be something new. So there's a piece of that that's mourning. It's that grief. And I actually am grateful to you for really, you know, holding that, I think, for many of us.
Can I throw in on that just a little bit? Mm-hmm. One of the things that Jen used to say that I always found really startling was, still no difficulty has entered. And I remember doing that with her at Mountain Cloud during a weekend retreat. And at some point it occurred to me that the rules of the game was that there's nothing that anybody could say to her where she wouldn't say still no difficulty has entered. And she made that, you know, the distinction between what's hard and what we see as a difficulty, and the difficulty having something to do with, oh, it shouldn't be that way. You know? So for me anyway, and I think the retreat that we did in Tucson, it's you know, as Megan said, sort of trying to honor that and make it part of what we're doing. You know, that the loss is it's hard and it's not a difficulty. It's not supposed to be any other way.
I think it's because we don't grieve very much outwardly anywhere in this country, but like even here, I don't know how people feel.
I want to chime in for just a minute there too. There's something Terry Tempest Williams wrote about the death of her mother, which was her absence became her presence.
Yeah.
And I very much feel that. And that we are blessing Joan's continuing teaching of us. how amazing that she is still teaching us, even while we grieve her absence. And all of that, I think, is in the mix, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't not feel her.
Yeah.
You know, when I was preparing for this talk, I had a strong feeling of so almost just channeling her, you know? It really, and it's hard for me, you know, to give a talk without feeling just like, you know, that's part of that cooking is that mix up, that relationship, that there's something about, I think, the strong relationship many of us have had with her where there's no separation. She's here. This is her voice.
And remember her talking about, how can I requite this generosity? Mm-hmm. Guys, we get to requite her generosity mm-hmm. by doing this. This is what she asks of us.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we got emails, the four of us, got an email from Joan saying, mm-hmm. blessings for this retreat, and I'm so glad it's happening. Mm-hmm. We need to carry it forward. And it's now. This is the time. Mm-hmm. We're not waiting for, nor are we excluding any possible return or whatever. But now is the time. Requite this. Carry it forward, dream it on. Bring all that you have into, you know, the alchemy, the feeling of loss, the energy for moving forward, all of that is in the cauldron.
I feel too, if I ask, you know, how do I grieve for Joan? I know how to do it because she taught me how to do it. You know, she taught me how to grieve. So I can do that.
I want to add my voice in too, Ellen, thank you for crying, because I've had a lot of grief, and I'm pretty far with it through the various stages, I worked with Joan for almost as long as most of you, and took me a couple of years, and I accepted Sarah as my teacher, and I'm committed to that, and I am moving forward and moving on. And, you know, I think the cauldron, well, I grow damson plums, and damson plums are these little nondescript little fruits that are sort of purple on the outside and green on the inside. They're kind of sour when you eat one. It's not the kind of thing you're going to stand there at the tree and eat a whole bunch of them. But man, when you put them in the cauldron and you add some cinnamon and you no sugar and you just allow that to happen, they are the most spectacular alchemy that we can imagine. And I think that a core element of our way, I really think a core element of our way is, what is this? What is this? And I think that we have to ask, what is happening in this cauldron this week, all the time? That doesn't mean we have to verbalize it, conceptualize it, codify it, you know, institutionalize it. But it is our way to inquire always, what is it that's happening here? And to smell those damson plums cooking and to notice them and know them and know what's happening here. And you know, Casey, I don't want to single you out, but I'm going to for a second. I don't even think, did you ever even meet Joan?
She's the one.
Wow. So Casey never met Joan, and she's been a core leader in our Sangha now for years, literally 3 years, 4 years?
Two.
Forever. And has come to know Andrew and Sarah in a bright, brilliant way. And this tradition, we are all, I'm sure it's true in all of our sanghas, but we are dreaming this forward. We are in the bath together. We are cooking on with Joan with us all the time, but also on our own. And it's what helps me with the grief is the beauty of what is and what is unfolding. And I'm so honored to be part of this. And I think it's so important for me to stay with it and to not turn away from the constant change, the constant growth that's there for all of us to participate in.
Teddy.
New people, new ideas, new everything.
How did Joan teach you? You know, I've been writing a memoir. I had to stop because I got really sick. But I also had to stop because the grief was overwhelming. How did Joan teach you?
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just, just everything about her for however long it was, 15 years or,
So it wasn't one thing, it was just the way she is.
Yeah. But I do think a lot of it is that, still no difficulty has entered.
What?
Still no difficulty has entered, it's just...
It's really good.
And her really radical sense that, it can be really hard and there's nothing wrong with that. I remember she was teaching me a little bit about how to do work in the room, and she said that people would come in and they'd say, they'd just be, so this is so hard, I don't know. And she would say, yeah, and the problem is, with that sort of element of wit about it, too.
The other thing she would say, though, and I'm kind of paraphrasing things that I heard her say, is, yes, no difficulty has entered, and also don't get stuck there. Mm-hmm. Things are always changing, and it's important to not get stuck. Don't sit on the throne of the damned.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So there's a way that we can make that into an identity. Yeah. We can solidify something about difficulty or grief into something that's not transforming. It's stuck.
Yeah. And you were saying everything about her. One of the everything about hers was the way she did it herself. The way she handled grief. And there were many aspects of that, but one of them was that she held always, steadily, fiercely, courageously, what's most important. To what do you have your deepest allegiance? And she would not let anything interfere with that.
Thank you, Alan, for speaking out. In some way, I always wonder why I come to retreat, because I don't take refugees, and I didn't really like sit as a group from time to time. But I always like to come here, and I think the first time I met Joan was maybe around 2004, 2003, and I didn't really talk much to her. Instead, we still walking in the room, and I didn't like email her or call her. Not really like a lot of physical teaching. But there is something not logical and it's really deep there. So when I saw the Santa Fe Sangha have some, how do you guys use that font? A state fund or something. I started to like research what is meaning of a state fund, and then I was like panicking because like the research I get was kind of like translated in Chinese, it was somebody died. I'm like, what's going on here? And then so a lot of times I was in an unknown situation, not like you guys have group. And then I just like checking the website, in different website, and just see what's going on and really trust. Just like this time, four teachers together, I'm like, what happened to Joan? That's my first reaction. But a lot of times I just bring myself, I trust that And it was great on the Center for Sangha, always send out the Jones speech. So then I know what's really going on. I kind of know what's going on. She's still here, and I just trust her care for everybody here. And we are beautiful teachers here again together. I think the words always bring myself back, not panicking, is the trust. Trust the love from each other.
Lejeune would always ask, what's the third thing? Not one, not two, but you know, that's what we do. We're creating the third, well, who knows, not right now, the third thing, which includes everything. I'm glad you feel that you can come.
Thank you.
I remember your dance.
Is there anything else that needs to be said?